fully aware of the limitations of the human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into this written word. So we need help. We ask for it. Pray for fresh unction and anointing. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. That the word will have free course, Father, from you through me to the people. To do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. Causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as the word goes out, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I will do it indeed with precision, redeem the time and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of the word things new and old as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving each blessing in their individual life agreed with me and said, today I have a very important message to share with us and the church. And it's very important because at this point in time, God is moving in the supernatural. It always does, but the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit without measure is imminent, and it is crucial that the people of God be not ignorant of spiritual things. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, concerning spiritual, the word gifts in the King James is italicized. That means it was not there in the original Greek. It was inserted at the discretion of the translators, which was appropriate. And so what he actually said was that now concerning spiritual things, I would not have you ignorant. So today I'm going to be speaking about the ministry of angels. Many Christians are either totally ignorant of the ministry of angels, or, as is the case in many of our cases, become unconscious. They're not conscious of the ministry of angels. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to remind those who didn't, who knew but are not conscious, and then those who don't know, you need to instruct them about the ministry of angels. The ministry of angels is an integral part of the supernatural ministry of God to us and answered prayer. If you've been around me for any sufficient amount of time, you will always hear me pray and say, you know, through the force of spiritual arms or by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of angels. I don't say just to say it. I say because I'm saying it by faith. It constantly reminds me of the ministry of angels as it concerns answered prayer. Angels are spiritual beings that have been created by God to serve him. and of course us by extension who are heirs of salvation, but primarily they are servants of God. In a sense, angels are spiritual robots. Now, not all of them are robots in the sense that not all of them, some of them do have or had some degree of a free will. We know that from the scripture, because Lucifer, who is now what we call the devil, was an angel created by God. The scripture reveals to us in Ezekiel 28, perfect, but he iniquity was found in him because he misused the free will. You see that misuse in Isaiah chapter 14. It says, "O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are brought down to the earth, for he said, I will." So he had a will. So some angels, like has been revealed to us, Gabriel, Lucifer before he fell, Michael, archangels, there are probably others we don't know. It's not too important. But the important principle to understand is that there are angels with a free will, and then there are angels who are just robots. They're just an army of servants that God has created to serve him and to do his will upon the earth. There are a lot of things that have become clearer to me. I preached this last maybe some years ago, you know, but in recent times God has brought me further clarity. See, we have to understand that when God created everything, he took it out of himself. The Bible says, "In him we live and move and have our being." Romans chapter 11 in verse 36 says, "Of him, through him, and to him are all things." In other words, everything came out of him, and then through him, and then it circulates back to him. Angels, of course, inclusive. And so we find that God made angels to do jobs, to do things that he doesn't want, or rather things that he can delegate. There is nothing God cannot do, because God's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. But in order to be able to relate to us and fellowship with us, he does not fellowship with us at that infinite level of omnipotence. Otherwise, we won't be able to relate to him. So he had to come down to our level. And in doing that, as it were, a miniaturization, which we see in particular in the Lord Jesus, but it's not only true of Jesus, in all the three persons of the Godhead, you find at the throne of God, you see God sitting on the throne. If he's that big, you can't see him. You see him sitting on the throne. You see Jesus at his right hand, as scriptures reveal. You see 24 elders around the throne. They're about the same size as God. If God was, and he's normal size, there's no way we could relate to him. And because of that fact, God has made angels. He's taken part of himself and put them in angels, so that when he wants to do something, maybe at some particular point, he sent an angel to do it. Now, angel is just as good as God would do it, because God put his wisdom and his power into the angel, and that's why we call them spiritual robots. For those of us who are studying, who studied some degree, I did a little bit of reading and study in artificial intelligence and robotics, you know, which is becoming more and more common these days. You begin to understand, you know, using a natural illustration, what God did. You know, when we want to do things now, you make a robot. I was in California a few days, you know, shortly, went to see Darren and William, and, you know, William took me to one place where, you know, a modern robotic laboratory, and they took me around, you know. It was very, very interesting. And I made robots now that can do so many things. You know, they can assemble cars. There's a particular robot, you know, if you take the hand like this and you do this and you do it like that, it will record everything you did. And then you bring it back to its position and just press a button. You keep doing it until you change the instruction. It'll do exactly what you did. So I can understand what God has done by making angels, you know, spiritual robots in a sense, you know, that will do exactly what God would do. Exactly. And that is why we as Christians have to understand the ministry of angels and take advantage of them. Many Christians are very ignorant of some of these things, and it is not the will of God. I would be ignorant about spiritual things. Now, let's put some definitions in here from the Word of God. Angels are spiritual beings. However, they have an interesting characteristic. They can interface between the spiritual world and the physical world. That's what makes them very relevant to us as men. An angel, some angels, not all, but some angels have the ability to appear in the physical and affect a physical thing, and then almost instantly disappear. They don't disappear, they're there, but they now move into the spiritual realm and you can't see them anymore. And they can affect physical things. For instance, let me give examples from the scriptures. It was angels that took off the chariot wheels of Pharaoh's army in the middle of the Red Sea. It says they trod heavy. And the wheels are physical. But took an angel, a powerful angel, and took the wheels off. So that, you know, so they couldn't run back. So when the Red Sea came tumbling down. That's why you don't want to fight God, you know. You know, so angels, they affect physical things. They affect physical things, even though they're spiritual beings. For instance, again, you see Samson. When Samson was going to be born, an angel appeared to his mom and his dad and told him about what was going to happen. And then they wanted to cook food. You know, the angel said, well, I'm not really hungry. But they insisted. I said, all right, go ahead and do it. But the angel didn't eat the food. He just put some fire. Pew! It consumed the food, and then the angel disappeared inside the fire. You see him physical, you see him spiritual. You see the angels interfacing between the spiritual realm as well as the physical realm. Many, many examples of the Bible. Hezekiah, the Assyrian army, Sennacherib, come to attack Jerusalem. You know, and Hezekiah goes and prays, and God tells him, chill. You know, I'm going to deal with these guys. You say he will not enter the city. He will not fire one arrow. He will not shoot one arrow or anything. The Bible says in the middle of the night, he said an angel of the Lord went and he slew 185,000. Spiritual angel, but he affected physical men. The men weren't spirits, they were men. Are you listening to me? So, then there are many, many examples I could give, but I've just given those few ones. The Bible is full, full of accounts of angelic visitations, angelic ministrations, you know, to men. And the Bible tells us, let's look at Psalm 104. Am I talking to anybody here? Psalm 104. And look at verse 4. It gives almost like a scriptural definition. Who maketh his angels what? Spirits. And his ministers are what? So it tells us here that angels are spirits. They're spiritual beings, but they're made by God. You know, and of course they can operate like fire, you know, through fire. Fire is a type of light. You know, it's a type of energy. You know, there's so much. The Bible is getting clearer and clearer to me, to the glory of God as an individual. Bible says, and this is the characteristic of the end time. That's why we know. It says the path of righteous shines forth brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. You know, you read things like fire and you just think of, you know, fire. What's fire? Fire is power. It's light. If, for example, electricity is flowing through these lights here, and there's this cable that's connecting all this, is carrying electrical power. God forbid, we don't want that to happen. But if something happened, for example, and you short-circuited it, what will you get? You see a spark, fire, light, electricity, power, energy. That's all comes from God. So it's just a manifestation of the fire. It's a manifestation of the power of God in a way. And you see that, you know, with angels. Now, they are sent specifically in the New Testament to minister to us, or for us who are heirs of salvation. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and look at verse 13. He says, but to quench. I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. But to quench. Of the angels, said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? Don't you ever say they are spirits? Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. If you're an heir of salvation, here, let me see your hand. And turn to your neighbor and say, you got lots of angels ministering for you, just for you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, as I go on, you'll understand. It's very important. Why is it in the Bible? So we can have faith. Now, of course, we don't pray to angels. We'll get to that later on. You know, we don't pray to angels. You don't start praying to Gabriel and Michael and holy, holy, holy Jah, holy Michael. You don't do all that rubbish. No, just pray. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me just say, you know, when you pray, both in the understanding as well as in the spirit, it is what you say that gives instructions for the angels to move. That's the interaction between prayer and the ministry of angels. And so we pray to God and we speak the word of God, and then the angels move in response to that word. We'll look at that in more detail later on. Another very important thing to understand, I'm doing this because some people are not just educated along these lines. You know, we don't know because we're not being taught. You don't hear, you know, I don't know unless I heard anybody, you know, well, I don't really listen to all this stuff anymore, but occasionally I do. You know, I can't remember when last I heard people teach on ministry of angels. It's something that should be taught quite consistently in the church, so that the church will not be ignorant. Now, you have angels of different sizes and shapes. Why? They have different functions. They have different functions. That's why they've got different sizes. You got angels who are just like men, about the same height, maybe 6 feet, 7 feet. If you see big, really big ones, maybe 8, 9, 10 feet. Amen? They don't have wings. So if you saw him, you might just think he's a man. If I just look just like us, I might wear shirts, trousers, sandals. Yeah. Amen. Just look like a man. The Bible says that you can entertain angels unawares. Of course, if he had two big wings behind him, you will be aware. Let's use your brains. Amen. So obviously, not all angels have wings. Are you listening to me? Because if he had wings, you will be very aware. So you have angels, you know, that are just like men. They look just like us. And they can, you know, come to your house. You won't even know he's an angel unless he tells you. He can be used by God to bring money or help you in some way or give you some advice. Someone just appear to you and tell you, go, don't go this way, go this way. And suddenly you look for the person, you can't find him anymore. It's an angel. Just came to help you out of your situation. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then, of course, you have angels that have wings. We call them cherubims. That's where the word cherubim comes. A cherub. A cherub is an angel with a wing, with wings rather, and they can fly, you know, and they can move around. And some of them are really big. You know, the cherubims, you can see that, you see them being described, you know, that surround the throne of God. And he says, you know, the throne, when Adam was sent out of the Garden of Eden, he says, and the path was guarded by two cherubs, and they had a sword. a very fierce countenance. They're not 5 feet tall. You're looking at guys that are maybe 11, 12 feet, 13 feet, and you don't want to mess with them. They're strong and very powerful. And they're sent by God on our behalf. There are some angels that are as big as 747s. I don't know what a 747 is. It's a big plane. You know? Really large, really gigantic angels. You see in the book of Revelation. He has 1 foot on the sea and he has 1 foot on the ground. Can you imagine an angel can put 1 foot inside the Atlantic Ocean and then put 1 foot on the continent? And he is so mighty. The Bible says he will cry with a loud voice. Angel. Those are the kind of angels that move around when you fly in your airplane. And they see to it that that plane won't crash. Anyone happen to put his job, put he can also remind the angel, put his hand under the plane and keep it steady. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why God put it in the Bible. So when you are afraid and say, no, God said, I'm chill. I'm in control here. Amen. I got angels. He has given his angels charge over us to keep you in awe, including air travel. Give the Lord a clap offering. Including air travel. The other day, my wife and I were traveling. There was a lot of turbulence. And, you know, we're praying. We pray. You know, I just chill. I said, I know an angel is there. I've gotten used to that. I psyched over the years because of prayer and all of that. I'm very conscious of the ministry of angels. As long as I'm that plane ain't coming down. You didn't hear me? And just so long as I'm in that plane ain't coming down. Something interesting happened. We were traveling somewhere. We got, you know, because of customs and all that, the flight was a little bit delayed. You know, we were delayed and we got there than that flight had gone. So they now put us on another flight, very nicely, very, very kind of them. And they asked us to wait. And this other flight was supposed to be at 6 o'clock. And I go about 6 o'clock, I go up to the guy in the Airways guy, and I said, what's going on? He said, that other plane had a problem. He said, but they've changed. He said, they're not trying to repair, they're bringing you a new plane. Angels on assignment. Many times when you have a delay, sometimes an angel. So see, you don't fly in a faulty plane. So, you know, many things you think are coincidences are not coincidences. It's, everybody say, angels on assignment. Hallelujah. Many, many times. And because they are invisible, they're spiritual beings. They can operate in the physical and move back into the spirit. And you won't see them. But you see their effect. Are you listening to me? A book that I think every Christian should read is Angels on Assignment by Roland Bach. Charles Francis, you know, but it was the story of a Assemblies of God pastor called Roland Bach. He's dead now, you know, and Gabriel appeared to him many, many times. He had a lot of experience, a lot of angels. The book is online. You can buy it, you know, it's free. You can download it as a PDF file and read it on your computer. I recommend it because it's very scriptural. It's very much in line with the Word of God, you know, and he tells examples of different. In fact, if you read, when you read some of the things some of the angels told you, just know it has to be true. One of the angels appeared to him and said, we were the guys at Jericho. He then went Joshua and said, when they did what God told them to do and they shouted, he said, the walls of Jericho didn't fall down. You know, when you read, you think of the walls of Jericho were so big you could build a house on the wall. Remember, Rahab's house was on the wall. So it's not the kind of wall you just push and the wall just falls down. That's when you know that it was a true experience. So that angel, he now told Roland Bach, he said the wall did not fall down. He said, we pushed them down into the ground like you push a lift, an elevator. We pushed them down the ground. So when he went down inside the ground, it was just level ground and the Israelites went in. Give the Lord a clap offering. Now, you need to know, you have to have a lot of power to push that kind of wall down. That kind of angels are looking after you. When you know that, will you be afraid? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm afraid. You know, it's because we're not conscious. That's why I said at the beginning. Many times we lose the consciousness of the fact that our angels are there. And then we're afraid. You know, but when you know, he says, he will cover thee with his feathers. God doesn't have feathers. Under his wings. God doesn't have wings. He's talking about angelic protection. Give the Lord a clap offering. Different kinds of angels, all kinds, cherubims and seraphims. There are angels that have just two wings. There are some that have six wings. They cover their eyes, cover their leg, and with two they fly. And then you got the ones, you know, in front of God's throne that has one face as a lion, another face as a calf, one face as an eagle, one face as a man. He has eyes here. Eyes here, eyes here, eyes here. 360 degree vision. You can't come anywhere near that angel will get you. They don't turn their head. They don't have to. He has four heads. And there are eyes on every side. So if he's looking like that, he's also looking at that side. And he's also looking there. And he's also looking back simultaneously. And he has angel, and he has wings that cover him. Why are they there? Try getting to the throne of God without permission. You will find out. God is great. They're just little things that show us a little bit. They give us a little peep. An insight into how great this God is. Hallelujah. So, these are what angels are. They're spirits. They can operate simultaneously in the physical and the spiritual realm. You've got different angels of different types and sizes, depending on what God wants to do. Let me just hit this running. You know, you also have angels that are very small. You have the big ones. You have the small ones. Depends on what God wants to do. And it's very interesting, man. You know, because man was created in the image and the likeness of God, it's God who is giving us this imagination and this wisdom when we make robots. We now have what we call nanorobots. You make very tiny robots, and the robot has the ability to reproduce itself. It can make itself. So one robot cannot create 1,000 robots. A million robots, you know, just over time like that, and you can put them, you know, in an electrical circuit, and you know, at the level of atoms, tiny, they call them nanorobots. Well, no problem for God. Hallelujah. So even at the microscopic level, God can have angels that are ministering to you. You're sick and all of that. Something will go inside your body and heal it. Glory be to God. No problem for God. The more we understand this, the better faith we can have. So it will not be difficult for you to believe. Now, why has God given us angels so that they can minister for us? They come to serve us. God uses them to serve us at our level. I tell you, God is so big in his omnipotence. So to relate to us at our level, he has to humble himself. He has to miniaturize himself, so to speak. And then he uses angels at that level in so many different ways in order to minister to us. Angels use the power that we release in prayer and act on the word of God that comes out of our mouths. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And look at verse 20. Psalm 103. And look at verse 20. Particularly in the area of divine protection, this is something you should always have at the back of your mind. When you're traveling on the expressway, when you're moving, always know your angels are with you. They're there. Whether you see them or not is not important. The important thing is your faith. Hallelujah. They go in, clear the traffic. I've seen it happen so many times, it isn't even funny. Clear the traffic, make sure everything works together for your good, so you get out of a mess that you probably would not have been able to get out of for another 10 hours. You'll find an angel, just go there, and all of a sudden everything just clear. Verse 20. Bless ye the Lord, ye his angels, that are weak in strength. Why did God put that there? To tell you that I've given you bodyguards. Talk about bodyguards. Who are strong and they can look after you. Now do what? Excel in strength that what? Do his commandments, not yours, his. Hearkening to the voice of his word. Now, when you speak in line with the word of God, then it's okay. But you can't tell an angel to do anything you like. It has to be whatever is in line with the word of God. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? That's very important to understand. So angels, in a sense, we command angels, but even when we command angels, it must be in line with the word. And then this scripture came to me so beautifully. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of... Why do you speak in tongues of angels? To give them instruction. You know what you're doing? You're talking to angels. In the Holy Ghost. That is why that song is so beautiful. The Holy Ghost is called the Lord of hosts. The Holy Spirit is the commander general of all the angels. So when he wants to stand and you begin to pray in tongues, is the Spirit giving the utterance. And then he's not giving instruction to this angel. You move there. This one, move there. That's why sometimes you find your tongues will just change. When you get in some serious warfare, the thing will change and you start telling angels, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Glory be. Give the Lord a clap of prayer. I speak. So our tongues is not just natural tongues. We don't just speak Aramaic and Hebrew and French. We also speak the tongues of angels. Hallelujah. So stop trying to reason out your tongues. Are you listening to me? You see why? Another reason why praying in tongues is so important. God wants to say some things to angels, and he wants to give them some instructions, and he wants to code it. If you speak it in English, Satan will hear it. Satan understands English. He understands natural languages. He even understands some angelic language. But there were angels that were made after he fell. So there are new angelic language he doesn't understand. Though I speak in tongues of men and of angels, he says, he speaketh mysteries, and no man understandeth it. How be it in the spirit? This one big operation here. God operating through the Holy Spirit operating, and giving instructions to angels. And if I tell you something, many Christians don't realize this. It struck me when I read that book, Angels on Assignment. And even after that time, I've had my personal revelation of these things. There is nothing that frightens Satan more than the ministry of angels. He was an angel, but he fell. Go to Revelation chapter 20. It's one angel, one, that grabs him. Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, well, as we are told, the original archangels, maybe there were more, But God didn't just make he also made angels that are even bigger than archangels. So when Lucifer's time is up, the Bible says, give it to me. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pits and a great chain in his hand. Next verse. And he laid hold. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which
is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. God didn't send 2 angels, he sent 1. Give the Lord a clap offering. That should tell you something. When you have angels around you and demons come, just chill. He says he laid hold on him. Any demon that tries to attack you, that angel can lay hold on and deal with them. They're powerful. They excel in strength. Are you listening to me? You know, you see, the devil knows something. James said this. He said, I believe in one God. He said, the devils also believe and they tremble. Satan is more afraid than you are. Because Satan knows those boys are bad boys. He is an angel. You know why? You see, there's a certain category of angels. They're just robots. They only do what God. You can't beg them. You can't appeal to their emotions. You can't say, Jove, Imelech. The word of God said, bind him. End of story. That angel comes expressionless, emotionless. He just does what the word of God says. And that's why you be very careful what you say with your silly mouth. Am I this man? He's just killing me. The angel says, yeah, he's killing him, eh? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. He said, say not before the angel that it was an error. We can understand, you know, that's why the Bible says the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by things. You program a computer and you put the wrong thing inside, the computer will do what he said. You can't tell the computer it was a mistake. It just takes the instruction and it just implements it. That's why you will have what you say, whether you mean it or not. Suffer not thy mouth. Thank you, Bimbo. Suffer not thy mouth. I didn't hear you. To cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say before the angel that it was an. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of your hands? Ministry of angels. Now I got to close. This is the very interesting part that I mentioned it when I preached some months ago, when I preached about mixing prayers, storing and mixing and releasing prayers. Now this is a very, very instructive operation of the ministry of angels. But before I get here, let me mention some examples. I've got to move quickly. First thing is that you see in the ministry of Jesus, when everything is written, they say all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is what? What? And is what? And is what? And is what? It's profitable. So anything you see in the Bible is profitable. You may not understand at that time. Leave it. Come back to it. So after some time you begin to understand, you know, it's there for your profit. That the man of God may be perfect. Without all scripture, you cannot be perfect. You see, that's why people who only read one part of the Bible and don't read another part, they cannot grow a balanced growth and they can never get to perfection. You need all scripture. Now, here, Jesus goes on a 40-day fast. And Satan comes to tempt him. You know, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And he overcomes all temptations. And the angels came and did what? Ministered to him. Why is it in the Bible? So that you and I can know. Angels can minister to us. Strengthen you. So when you're feeling weak. And some of the God just send an angel. Just look. Jesus is praying. In Gethsemane. His sweat was as were great drops of blood. He is in an agony. He's under tremendous pressure Only God knows how many millions of demons are releasing spiritual forces. They were bombarding his mind, his body, his emotions. I'm sorrowful even unto death. So Jesus, who knows the Bible, knows why he came, he knows the whole world, he comes and says, God, if it be possible. You can imagine the tremendous spiritual pressure that he was under. And when God saw that, and Jesus had been praying for 3 hours, look, and there what? Appeared what? An angel from heaven doing what? So the ministry of angels are very relevant in prayer. You see this again in Daniel. I'm going to come to the revelation and then we'll close. You see, Daniel begins to pray, and he begins to seek God about Israel and the restoration of Israel back to the promised land. So the first 70 years that Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied were over. As he prayed, and he prayed, he fasted. It wasn't a total fast. He didn't eat any pleasant bread, you know, and he prayed. You know, even his body was feeling weak. The Bible tells us that an angel, it was Gabriel this time, appeared to him. I said, oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved. He said, from the very first day that you began to see God, God heard. He said, but a prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. He said, and I went to Michael. Or rather, Michael was now sent, I'm paraphrasing because of time, to help me. And then I came through. And I brought you the message and I brought you the answer. This unveils to us the great spiritual battle that is taking place in the spiritual realm when we are praying. So when you are praying, talk to your neighbor and say, you are not alone. You have a host. The host of heaven, hallelujah, are watching and are cooperating with you in your praying. You got to see this, folks. Are you listening to me? It was Daniel who was praying in the earth, one man. But there was a whole host of spiritual operation taking place in the heavenlies between the angels of God and the angels of Satan. Are you listening to me? Very important that you realize this. You know, and understand that angels, you know, respond to the word of God that we speak. And as we pray, those angels are sent from God, from heaven, you know, by God. And sometimes those angels come across spiritual opposition. The prince of Persia, which stood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came and he helped me. It God just gave us a peek. So when you are praying,
in our language, that means all those angels just give you a knock.
Oh, don't mess around, though. Are you listening to me? Serious business here. Serious business here. Jesus was not playing, was praying. And when God saw us, sent an angel there, strengthened him.
How many want angels to strengthen them when they are praying? I do. Now, you don't have to see it all. And start praying, God, let me see the angel. Let me see the angel. Oh, angel. Oh, Holy Gabriel. Holy Gabriel.
There is such a fine line between truth and error. Angels are there. But you don't pray to angels. Two, you don't have to see them. Just let them do the job. Who cares about seeing? I want the job done. Now, look at Revelation chapter. Oh Lord, this is good. This is good. Look at Revelation chapter 5 and look at verse 8. Here he's speaking about the elders. that are before the throne of God. Why, again, all scripture is profitable? Why God tell us all of this? He wants to open our eyes so we can see what's going on in the realm of the spirit. Hello? So we can pray. I've been saying this recently in times of prayer. We can intelligently cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Many Christians do not intelligently cooperate. They don't even know what's going on. Hence this message concerning spiritual things, particularly the ministry of angels. I would not have you ignorant. Now watch this. Give this to me in the New King James. Deliberately. Because that word odors there is incense. Good. He says, and when he had taken it, I didn't hear you. The four living creatures, he didn't call them angels. Yeah, they're special kind of cherubims. Those are those guys with four heads. And the four and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each having a harp and golden bowls full of what? Incense, which are the what? Prayers of the saints. There's a spiritual operation here that is wonderful. You see, looking back now by revelation and looking back down through the years, I now see where so many traditions came out of. You've heard of, you know, pray to Saint Anthony and pray to Saint Christopher and pray to this and pray to that and pray to that. Really? You know, I think what happened was in the first century when some of the early church, the early saints who really knew how to pray. Maybe some of them had visions of some of these of these elders, you know, saying whatever, you know, and those helped in prayer. But you can't make a doctrine out of that. And then start praying to Saint Christopher and start praying to Saint Anthony and start praying to them. Pray in tongues! And then God will divert it to Saint Christopher or divert it to Saint Anthony or whoever he wants to use. We're not to pray to a saint. We're not to pray to an angel. We pray to God in the name of Jesus. And then we pray in the spirit. But behind the scenes, angelic operation, elder operation is there. God just gives us a peek. Golden bowls full of what? Incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Incidentally, this elder too is a saint. He's just a saint who has become an elder. Why is that in the Bible? Have you forgotten? 1 Corinthians, I'm going to come back to Revelation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Quick. And look at verse 4, I think it is. Or 3. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my, with the what? Paul was not there. They were gathered. What, when they gather, what do they do? When two or three are gathered together in my name, whatever they shall ask in prayer, he said, I will do it unto them. When they are gathered together, God now takes the prayers of those people. He takes it with the spirit of Paul, puts the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and sends it off. There is something of operation here about God, you know, through the ministry of angels, through the ministry of elders, you know, amplifying prayer. And you see this operation here. You know, here with Paul, he said, to deliver that guy to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. But that's not what I want to consider. I just want you to see here that there is a gathering in the spirit that mixes with the spirit of the elder. In this case, Paul is an elder. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 8. This is beautiful. And look at verses 3 to 5. Revelation 8, 3 to 5. There you go. He said, and another angel came and stood at the altar Having, give me the New King James, please. Excuse me. New King James. Stick with the New King James here. Okay. And another angel, having a what? Came and stood where? And he was given what? Stop. What's incense? The prayers of the saints. Remember Revelation 5:8? It says, and much incense were given to the elders, which are the prayers of the saints. And he was given what? That he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon where? The golden altar, which was where? Before the throne of God. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense. This is the real thing. Well, not this story you put all over the whole place. This is not a physical incense that you take into a church and you begin to. This is spiritual. This is real. This is what. See, when we're praying in the spirit, so much is happening. God will take the power that is coming out of us, gather it together, mix it with the one of an elder, push it up to the throne. Look at what's happening here. With the prayers of the saints, ascended before God from the angels' hands. Ministry of angels. Verse 5. And then the angel, let's say ministry of angels, took the censer, filled it with fire from where? And then threw it where? And they were what? And let's just say it availed much. Let's just say they touched heaven and they shook the earth. Hallelujah. So through the ministry of angels, as we pray, these things are happening in the realm of the spirit. And these are things we need to have understanding of, you know, so we're not ignorant. So when you pray, you have faith. Your prayer is not just rising to the ceiling. It's not just here. The power of God is coming out from your spirit, mixing with other saints, God amplifying the thing through elders and covering, and the ministry of angels take it to the throne, mix it with the prayers, and then brings it back into the earth. And when it comes, it's coming with great power. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas prayed, and the Bible says, and the whole earth, there was a great earthquake. Hallelujah. And all the prison doors were opened. There's a great truth of the ministry of angels mixing with our prayers. So when we pray, we should understand that it's not just prayer, our words alone. They're there, but the angels are hearkening to the voice of God. They're excelling in strength. They take the words and the power that we release. That's why we need to pray that we release so that it can be legal, so they can operate in the earth. Then they now take all of that as instructed by the Holy Spirit. We don't know the details. We don't need to know the details. It's the Holy Spirit who knows all of that. That's why praying in the Spirit, groaning, travail, all these things are so important. The Holy Spirit now will now instruct the angels. They will move in whatever way they need to move and bring the thing back into the earth. And trust me, when those boys are here on the earth with the power of God and your angel, it is going to come to pass. Hallelujah. And so we need to understand this, you know, as it concerns the ministry of angels. The angels have been sent to protect us. They've been sent to minister unto us. They've been sent also to even participate and cooperate with our prayer lives. They are an integral part of our prayer lives. That's why we say the power of the Holy Spirit through the ministry of angels. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives the detailed direction and all of that, but we need to understand that they are there. So whatever needs to be done will be done so that the answer to your prayer can come. Let us pray. Talk to God. Look at what God would do with Daniel. Daniel didn't know that was an angel. He didn't know what was going on. He just kept praying. Finally, when the answer came to the angel, now opened his eyes to let him see all the details of what was going on. The ministry of angels. You have angels looking after you. Angels, bodyguard angels. Angels in the air. Angels on the road. Angels, you know, a lot of what Christians try and do by putting the blood on the expressway. All that is not the ministry of the blood. It's the ministry of angels. It's the ministry of angels. The blood is to cleanse your spirit so that power can flow that the angel can use. It's ignorance. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Amongst us with hope, we found. As we lay aside all earthly desires, hands reach out, and our hearts,
Holy Spirit.
Personally, please accomplish in me.
Please accomplish in me today
some new work.
of love and grace, I pray unreservedly. Deadly have your way. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I welcome you.
I welcome.
Put one hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is intricately interwoven with the ministry of angels. And that's why God has put it inside His Word, so that we'll not be ignorant. Many, many things the Holy Spirit does. He will give the power to the angels and give them the instruction and the direction to go ahead and do it. When God wanted to deliver Elisha from a Syrian army, there were, we don't know how many. Elijah could see them by faith. Gehazi was afraid. God said, open his eyes. That's why I pray this prayer, accomplishing that some new work of love and grace. Elijah said, there are more that are for us than are against us. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't see the angels, but they were there. Gehazi couldn't see it. Whenever you're praying, have that understanding at the back of your mind. The Holy Spirit is ministering through the ministry of angels. Asking them to do all kinds of things, go to all kinds of places. You need money, you need business. God will send angels, talk to people. They won't know His angels talking to them. It will just say something into their air, put a thought into their mind. I'm going to help this person. Something happened recently for my wife and I. We had something we had to do. You know, God just raised people supernaturally. There was one particular person, a woman in a place. You know, she just took it on herself that day. From morning till night, she was doing on that work for us. Angels. Ministry of angels. When the atmosphere is bad, angels can change it. When somebody doesn't feel like doing something, God will just come. He won't know he's an angel. Just make them favor. This person's on. Do it this way for them. It's the ministry of angels. Angels can go where you cannot go. Angels can walk through doors. They're spirit beings. They have no limitations. That man, he can talk to him. That woman, he can talk to them. When you pray, of course, you pray in the spirit and all that. Then the Holy Ghost will know how, without violating their free will. Understand this. So, please accomplish in us today some new work.
Some new work of love and grace.
We pray unreservedly. Have your way.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Lord of hosts.
Holy Spirit.
Lord of hosts.
Holy Spirit. We welcome you.
Raise that hand. We're going to pray. The Holy Spirit is the Lord of the hosts of the angels. Those hosts are angels. I didn't mention this, but only God knows how many angels God has. The book of Revelation gives us an idea of billions, hundreds of millions, and thousands of thousands. Jesus tells us that He had 6,000 angels at His beck and call, and we're joint heirs. You don't even want to, you know, that's why you have to cooperate intelligently. What is it you need? If you have 1,000 men working for you on the earth today, just 1,000 people, and they are just working only for you, you're already a rich man. Talk less if you have
thousands of angels. It's real, folks. Touch your heart. Raise the other hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I repent of the ignorance of the ministry of angels. I repent of losing the consciousness of the fact that the ministry of angels are intricately interwoven with the ministry of the Holy Spirit and my prayer life. From now on, I will maintain that consciousness as I pray. Oh my God, come and help me. Give me fresh mercy. Give me fresh grace. Give me, like you gave Daniel, like you gave John, a fresh insight into the realm of the Spirit and the ministry of angels that have been sent for me to minister for me, because I am an heir of salvation. I am a seed of Abraham. Oh my God. Oh my God. Help me open my eyes that I will see who I really am. That I will see what I have. This great inheritance. And I will not waste it. And therefore, I will be diligent and fervent and effectual in my prayer life, knowing that I am not alone. That as I pray, you join my prayers to the prayers of others, elders, those under whose covering and operating, and the ministry of angels. And because of this great, wonderful system, I know my prayers will be answered. Father, help me to work in this faith and in this consciousness, in Jesus' name. Nekataramash Liprikato Fredeka Zefrika Toloma Shalemingi Tofrenes. When you pray in tongues now, you pray differently because you understand. Lekatoloma Shalaprikato Frenes Lopriniga Toske Freninga Toloma Shela Lambrega Tofreninga Matufres Zofrika Kaklamaturo Zofrika Kaklamaturos Luprika Toloma 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 Shalangaras Zofridia Niki Toloma Shala Tolomanga Tolomos Tufrideka Tolomos Tufrika Kaklamatulos Lombrika Matulomotu Kaklamatulomos Shofri Tufresh Jeke Kaklamatulo Lombrika Matufresh Lambriki Tolo Lombrika Matushko Fraka Kaka Toloma Shari Tufridengarax, Tufrideas, Nufridelis, Nufrideas, Nufrideles, Giliketoras, Tufridings, Nufridelis, Nufridengaras, Shelabres, Nufridelis, Shelapricas, Nufridelis, Shelengaras, Tufridis, Tulomangaras, Tufridis, Nufridelas, in Jesus' name.